dance on Friday, and I start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Friday's my day.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Huh? Aren't you glad it's Friday? Oh, my God. I was watching some Chris Matthews hardball tonight. I think Tweety Bird is about to convert into being from being a Bush sucker to being a Bush, I won't go so far as to say Bush hater, but Tweety Bird seems to be coming out of the ether, doesn't he, huh? I don't know how anybody's still in the ether about this man, but anyway. And a typical Bush action, he's announcing now, word is out there all over the place, that we're talking about being in Iraq for the next 10 years. And we have some numbers to share with you about what that might entail. The man is so far out of touch with reality, he's comparing our involvement in Iraq to our involvement in Germany and Japan after World War II and South Korea after the Korean War over half a century ago. This man is really, really, really losing it. But he tosses this thing out here about, 10 years down the road, a long-term commitment. It's a typical Bush trick. It gets everybody talking about, what if and when and down there and where and in the future. And we stop talking about what's going on in Iraq today. It's an old Rovian trick. We'll get to some of this tonight. Also this week, the Bush crime family officially lost Foxy the Snowman, Abu Gonzalez. I wonder where Mr. Gonzalez is going to wind up. I'm sure Tony Snow is going to wind up back at Fox News and probably some think tank for his remaining months of life. Gonzalez, where do you think he's going to wind up? Yeah, I know where he should wind up. He should wind up in prison. Also, what we lost, in addition to Foxy the Snowman and Abu Gonzalez, we also lost any pretense of ever leaving Iraq. Ever. Ever. But this is so typically Bush. If you take a look, even an uncritical look, of Bush's life, every single thing he's ever gotten involved in has resulted in a disaster that is then turned over to someone else to clean up. Family members, outsiders, Kissinger, Brent Scowcroft, and in this instance where it concerns Iraq, the next couple of presidencies, this guy is just amazing. Amazing how incompetent he is. But it's also amazing how he has no hesitancy in his ignorance and his ineptness and his inability to do anything, just leaving a complete mess, let somebody else clean it up. Whether that mess is an oil company or a war, he doesn't care. It's astonishing. But we'll play a couple of clips for you tonight that detail Bush's "Me Kill You Long Time" new way forward, his new strategy, as he would put it, in Iraq. And as far as U.S. presence there, it's forever, it seems, or at least until his cronies with the Hunt Oil Company and Halliburton have punched enough holes in the surface of that sad country to suck everything out that can be sucked out. So a couple of murderous moron sounds on the program tonight and some other stuff. This Hunt Brothers, the Hunt Oil Company thing that one of our callers mentioned last night is the story, if you haven't gotten it, because we spent an awful lot of time today being told, those of us who paid any attention to network or cable news, that O.J. Simpson and two thugs broke into somebody's room with guns to steal sports memorabilia. So that kind of bumped off the screen or off the radio the story of Al Hunt, or Ray Hunt, I'm sorry, there's so many of them. Ray Hunt is the CEO of Hunt Oil Company. And he and Kurdistan's regional government Now, keep in mind that Kurdistan, in fact, doesn't exist. It's not a country. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. In fact, I think it should be. But it's not a country. It's a hope. It's an idea. It's sort of like Israel prior to 1948. But Kurdistan's regional government, yeah, they have one. The Kurds, this is a section of Iraq, the northeastern section of Iraq. Hunt Oil Company from Texas and Kurdistan's regional government have signed a production sharing contract for petroleum exploration in northern Iraq. Now, this is the first deal of the of its kind in the country that I'm aware of, and certainly with the Kurds since they passed their own oil and gas law a couple of months ago. See, one of the benchmarks that Bush is insisting on is that Iraq as a country, as a coherent, held-together country, not a country divided into three parts, but Iraq as a country must submit to rape quietly and with a smile on its face, the collective rape, repeated rape, of international oil companies, most of whom are based in the United States or the UK. And if they do not do that, they have not met a benchmark. The benchmark being that these oil companies will have the rights in perpetuity to all of Iraq's assets. Remember, it's not about the oil. It's not about the oil. But anyway, here Ray Hunt has made the first deal. They're going to start work by the end of 2007 with geological surveys and seismic testing. Ray Hunt, the company's CEO, said in a statement, quote, "We're very pleased to have the opportunity to be a part of these landmark events by actively participating in the establishment of the petroleum industry," end quote. That's odd. I thought Iraq had a petroleum industry, but I guess not. And as Suzanne pointed out, Suzanne in we've got a couple of Suzannes, but this Suzanne wrote, "Does it ever stop?" She writes, "Does it surprise you? The first company to sign an oil deal with Iraqi Kurds is Hunt Oil, a company with very close ties to Bush and our country's intelligence infrastructure." Well, no, actually it doesn't, Suzanne, and I don't think it would surprise anyone who has the sense equal to a sack of doorknobs. This is the way it works with the Bush crime family. This is the way it works. This is the way it's always worked, all the way back to financing Hitler so he could murder 6 million Jews. This is the way it's always worked with the Bush crime family. The more death, the better. Just give them the money. That's all they care about. Gassing Jews, providing the gas to gas the Kurds, cutting deals with the Kurds after the Kurds have been gassed. It's all the same thing. Human life is worthless to the Bush crime family. Just show them the money. Now, the Hunt family that owns Hunt Oil, and as Suzanne points out, it's privately held, so we don't get to scrutinize financial statements. That's one of the big money Texas donors behind the Bush family, a political empire. Roy Hunt, the current chair of the company, is also on the board of Halliburton. Are you surprised? Of course you're not. And the King Ranch. I believe it's still the biggest ranch in the history of ranches in Texas. And the fact that he is on the board of the King Ranch means he probably knows to duck when he goes quail hunting with Dick Cheney. Hunt is also on the board of trustees for Shrub's new presidential library, which announced its plans for a wacky democracy institute that will give cover for more imperialism around the world. This guy is really out there, Hunt. He's involved in everything. He's also involved in something called PFIAB. Have you ever heard of that? I never heard of it until today. PFIAB is the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. Yeah. They ostensibly provide advice to the President concerning the quality and adequacy of intelligence collection. Now, I just have a feeling this is only set up to assist either Republican presidents or just the Bushes. But the board includes such luminaries as a former Kissinger associate and therefore complicit in mass murder, Brent Scowcroft, who was the ninth and the 17th U.S. National Security Advisor. He was National Security Advisor under Ford and the National Security Advisor under George Herbert Bush. He's also a Mormon, Scowcroft, but not that there's anything wrong with that. The board, well, I'll share some more of these board members with you when we come back. But are you surprised? No, you can't be surprised. Hunt Oil Company has cut a deal with the Kurds. Hunt Oil Company, the biggest, single biggest bush backer. It's just business as usual to these blood-soaked sons of bitches.
It's about fear,
it's about fear
and control of those barrels of black gold. Yeah, step up, folks, to another war when we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines. I want to see it in big lights. Hello.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. And at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
For all of us. No, not for all of us. You thieving bastard, you bandit. Anyway, Hunt Oil Company, whose chairman... made the big announcement, Ray Hunt, that Hunt Oil Company has cut a deal with Kurdistan. This kind of blows to pieces, doesn't it? The idea of a united Iraq that Bush has been talking about. You know, one more example of Bush's perfidy, Bush's lies, Bush's murderous actions that will guarantee more deaths of American soldiers and Iraqi people. It's astonishing. Are there people in America who are still allowing their sons and daughters to join this psychopath's military? Are there really? What is wrong with the parents in this country who are allowing this to happen? And I don't care if the kid is 18, 19, or 20. You can go to your child, even when your child is that old, and say, if you do this, I will disown you. If you do this, we'll never speak again. If you do this, when they send your broken, dead body home in a crate, I'll toss it into the nearest garbage heap. Don't do this. Don't waste your life for this sick son of a bitch who is only interested in the money, does not care about any human life, never has. His family financed the extermination of the Jews in Germany. For Christ's sake, is nobody aware of that? Is this the only program that ever brings that up? But I digress. The head of the Hunt Oil Company also sits on the board of Halliburton and PFIAB, which is the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, which includes Brent Scowcroft, a blood-drenched... Scowcroft, like Kissinger, is another one. Every time this miserable old bastard takes a step, he squishes. Squish, squish, squish. And if you look behind him, you see red footprints. The Kissinger associates have been involved as a private enterprise in more death on this globe than any private enterprise organization. So there's Scowcroft. Who else is on this? Crescencio Arcos, an AT&T executive and former U.S. ambassador. Jim Barksdale, former head of Netscape. Robert Addison Day, chairman of the TWC Group, a money management firm. Stephen Friedman, past chairman of Goldman Sachs. Who else? David Jeremiah, retired admiral. Arnold Kanter, a Bush One national security official and founding member of the Scowcroft Group. It just goes on. Oh, and Philip Zelikow, the National Security Council staffer during Bush One. Now, two members of this group were Bush campaign pioneers, meaning they collected at least $100,000 for Bush's presidential bid. This guy Lerner and his where's his name? Let me find this. Where's Lerner? Alfred Lerner, chief executive of MBNA, which is, I believe, the largest international bank in America. Ray Lee Hunt sits on this board too, lest I forget. But Lerner. Lerner was the single biggest source of contributions for Bush in 2000, and he and his wife each donated $250,000 to the Republican Party. Hunt rounded up bucks for Bush. Friedman gave $50,000. It goes on and on and on and on. I don't know. I'm lost for words. But and see, we don't know about this. Nobody knows about this unless all the people that contribute to this program or our senior correspondent, if somebody doesn't send this in, or if I get off my lazy ass and do some research myself and find out about this. Now, it just so happens that the the Associated Press reported this September 8th, which was what, last Friday? Last Saturday, I don't know, but probably on the weekend where nobody paid any attention to it. But we don't hear about this. We hear about O.J. Simpson and his boys invaded somebody's hotel room. I don't know if any of you, I shouldn't put it that way. If any of us, it's a better pronoun, have any doubt about what this invasion and occupation and mass murder and the death of all of our soldiers and all these Iraqi people and the destruction of our military, if you have any doubts about what the real objective is now, what do you need? Especially you right-wingers who listen to this program, do you need someone to come up with you with a 2x4 and just slam you across your dumbass head to wake you up or put you out of your misery? One of the two. Don't you get it yet? What does it take? Does Pappy Bush have to go over to Iraq and jam his bony fingers into the dirt and punch holes and keep punching holes until oil comes up and then sit there and play with himself as he's drenched in oil for some of you people to get it? Good God!
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
Email here from Liza. All right, hi Mike. This is one of the few nights we will not be listening to you as we're going to bed in order to be on the bus to Washington at 3 a.m. I know you feel marches are futile. Maybe they are, but I feel like I have to do something. If all I can do is bear witness to the atrocities these monsters have done, if all I can do is march and wave a sign, so be it, even if no one else notices. At this point, I just need to live with myself. I wonder if you could make a public announcement along these lines. Do anyone going to the march on Washington tomorrow, please bring cameras and cell phones. Whatever happens tomorrow, the more people recording it on camera and reporting it to others via cell phone, the better. They cannot take cell phones and cameras away from a million people. The more people who have a record of this event, the more chance an accurate account of tomorrow will become public knowledge, whatever those events may be. Given the crowds that are expected, it's likely there will be Republican plants in the crowd whose job it will be to make trouble, as in Florida in 2000. Should that happen, please do not react. Instead, take their picture, post it on the web, and then we can figure out which Republican congressional aide it was. I'm being flip, but the truth is, I'm pretty nervous about this one. I've done other marches before, but not when there was a dictator in power, and not when there were troops posted in D.C. To those troops, I say this. Please remember, all of us marching in the streets are Americans. We're the people you are sworn to protect, and we are marching to restore the Constitution, which you have also sworn to protect. Please, be humans first, Americans second, soldiers third. Whatever you do, don't obey any orders that will turn you into this generation soldiers at Kent State who have spent the last 30 years asking themselves why. I'm not sure what will happen tomorrow, Mike. Probably nothing. We'll probably march, yell, wave signs, hear speeches, get on the bus, go home, and be ignored by the media. If this were a movie, I suppose the generals would order the soldiers to stand down. We would all walk into the White House, which is, after all, our house, and escort George Bush out for a nice cup of tea in the Rose Garden, where we would politely explain what he has done wrong and why we won't let him back into the building. But this is no movie. There's no easy ending. And the music won't gloriously swell over the closing credits. I know that, but I can't help myself. I still hope. Liza. Well, good luck, Liza. Let us know how it turns out. This is, I guess this would be the appropriate time for this little item. This is from the Associated Press. The U.S. is, here's what the headline is. U.S. probes banned briefs found at Gitmo. Associated Press reports that guards at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp and torture compound found two prisoners sporting unauthorized underwear. And the U.S. military is investigating to determine how they got the contraband. Both prisoners were caught wearing Under Armour briefs, and one also had on a Speedo bathing suit. Items the military said were not issued by Guantanamo personnel or sent through the regular mail, according to a Defense Department letter obtained Friday by the Associated Press. Army Lieutenant Colonel Ed Bush, another Bush, a spokesman at the jail holding some 340 men on suspicion of terrorism, said more was involved than just an uproar over skivvies. He said the appearance of contraband raised serious concerns about the potential for smuggling other items that could be used by detainees to harm themselves or the staff. Detainees are given cotton briefs similar to those issued to U.S. soldiers in basic training. The Army spokesman said Under Armour briefs are popular with members of the military, which raises the question of why not find out if, you know, somebody in your torture room made a deal. You know, when the waterboarding didn't work, maybe it was, look, I'll give you a pair of Under Armours. I'll give you a Speedo if you tell me where the dirty bomb is going to be planted. On the other hand, it could be something a little more intriguing. Hi, want to swap underwear? No. And Prairie 2 sent this in. Mike, they had an old-fashioned run on the bank in England today. The fifth largest bank in the UK, Northern Rock Bank, couldn't keep people from queuing up to get their money, despite offering 6.3% on deposits if they would leave it in. People continued to demand their savings even after the Bank of England said they would give unlimited support, something they haven't had to do for a bank here since 1973. In general, the British economy is in much better shape than here in the U.S., but bank runs here are still not likely anytime soon here in the U.S., since no one here has any savings. That's true. People that see their home equity as their savings should take note of the announcement today by one of the largest home builders in operations nationwide. They are cutting the price of new homes in inventory by up to $100,000. This is on top of the 10% drop in the new home market already. This additional drop will be more than enough to wipe out the down payment most people made to buy a home. But as Chucklenut says, quote, the economy is strong, end quote. Yeah, I saw that. Thanks, Prairie 2. I saw that story, both stories today. I caught the tail end of Northern Rock Bank, and I thought, well, that sounds like something in the suburbs of Baltimore or something, so it doesn't concern me. But it turns out that it was the fifth largest bank in England. As far as the cutting the price on houses by up to 100 grand, gosh, it makes me wonder how expensive are the damn things to begin with. But I saw an economist, or I don't know, not an economist, somebody from CNBC probably, or one of the financial channels, comment on that cut in price. And the comment was simply, okay, it's a stopgap measure. This is a company whose stock value, this construction company or building company, lost 75% of its stock value since July. So it's a nice stopgap measure, but it doesn't mean anything because next month they'll have more inventory to get rid of. So This is the Bush economy that's just booming along, huh? And here we are again. Oh, my. Oh, my. A lawyer who formerly led the Michigan Young Republicans organization was sentenced yesterday to 5 years in prison on a guilty plea to sexual battery, stemming from charges that he forced sex acts on a woman while both were at a convention last year. The judge sentenced Michael Flory, who's 33, of Jackson, Michigan. Flory, dressed in a jacket, white tie, and dark blue button-down shirt, was led from the courtroom in handcuffs. Other charges, including rape, kidnapping, aggravated burglary, gross sexual imposition, were all dismissed when he pled guilty July 4th to sexual battery. Flory is a former chairman of the Michigan Federation of Young Republicans. He was attending a Cleveland convention of young Republicans ages 18 to 40 at the time of the crime in July 2006. The victim, 21 at the time, was intoxicated and became ill, and Mr. Flory took her back to her hotel room and attacked her. Now, I think I remember reading about the convention, not the rape, because who knew at the time, but the convention, I think it was a New Yorker, one of those first-person accounts of how sick these little perverted young Republicans really are. What a bunch of sorry bastards, aren't they? You know, I'm getting the feeling more and more, like it or not, and I can't say I completely dislike it, if for another reason other than pure, straight-out, sweet revenge. It looks like the Democrats are going to wind up with a veto-proof majority in the Senate in 2008 and a massive majority in the House in addition to the White House. When that happens, then I think legislation should be introduced that utterly and absolutely, irrevocably, and for once and for all, bans the Republican Party from doing anything ever again. Being a member of the Republican Party, an elected office holder in the Republican Party, should be a misdemeanor, punishable by a year in prison or a $1,000 fine. And if the Republican involved does it three times, then I think the repeat offender laws should come into play and these miserable sons of bitches be sent to jail for life without parole. Well, what else are we going to do? Republicans are rapists. They are closeted heterosexuals and homosexuals. They perpetrate their weirdness against the entire population or attempt to, and then sneak out and have anonymous sex in bathrooms with each other, rape women at conventions, sexually batter people, men and women. And then, the very next week or the next day, they attend their conventions or stand in the well of the Senate or the House and talk about how the queers are trying to destroy marriage. They should be banned. Utterly, absolutely. I know we tried to do this with the Communist Party, and the ACLU got all upset. Maybe the ACLU would get all upset about the Republicans. But Republicans are nothing but corrupt criminals. Jesus, what do we have to see before we realize that the Republican Party is, in fact, a criminal enterprise? The RICO laws should apply against these bastards. I mean, we use the RICO laws to put the mafia dons in jail. Right? Okay. Let me tell you something, Truth Seeker. Republicans have caused more death in an hour than the mafia has caused in 40 years. Ban the sons of bitches. And any member of the Republican Party, put them in jail. Republican side!
Terrorists are against peace. Terrorists kill innocent life. Those who would like to kill. Those are called terrorists.
And by the way, the Iraqi oil minister says that deal with Hunt Oil Company and the Kurdish regional government is illegal. But of course that doesn't mean anything. You know, it means nothing. Nothing to the Bush crime family, or no matter where its tentacles go, it doesn't mean anything. In Vienna, Austria, the Hussein al-Shahristani said a couple of days ago after the deal was signed that the deal between Hunt Oil and the Kurdish administration to explore for oil is illegal. The comments underscore the central government's view that exploration contracts with foreign companies should be signed only after the adoption of the new national oil law, which was written by Bush crime family members, including the oil companies. And the reason it hasn't been signed yet is because the Iraqis are trying to resist all of this. They want us gone. They want us out of their country so they can get about the business of seriously killing each other. And like we did in this, I'm not being glib here. Like we did in this country, like the civil wars in England centuries ago, you know, pick a country, Jesus, you know, the Philippines, China, Russia, pick a country. The Iranians have never had a real bloodbath to determine who will eat and who will serve, and they've got to go through it. They do. Look at the Italians, Jesus. I mean, pick a country and tell me they didn't have at one time in their history. Or prehistory, a civil war. So we've got to get out of the way. Now the fact that the Iraqis who want to kill each other, and trust me, they do. They really do. They it's butchery time. It just so happens that where they want to do the bloodletting happens to be above vast reserves of oil. That's the only interest the Bush crime family has. So. There's an OPEC meeting in Vienna. You may have heard Bush talk about it when he was in Austria. Or was that Australia? Or was that APEC? Anyway, there's a real OPEC meeting going on in about to begin, I think, Monday. Maybe it's on right now. And this guy who is the oil minister of Iraq said any oil deal has no standing as far as the government of Iraq is concerned. The contract was not presented for approval. It has no standing. Oh, now in Dallas, the Texas-based Hunt Oil Company declined to comment. They don't need to comment. Why should they comment? They just flick this guy off to the side like they'd flick a booger. You know, it doesn't mean anything. What? You're the Iraqi oil man? Get out of my face. Get out of here. I'm Jack Hunt. I'm a massive backer of George W. But get out of here. Booger, go away. Flick. But it's illegal. Flick. Thun sent me an email. The subject line is WTF. I'll try to read this. This is regarding Bush's speech the other night. Thun writes, the retarded blank up tells a broken nation it's perpetual war. And how does the crack media respond the next morning? O.J. Simpson is a burglar. Right on cue. And then he says a profanity I wish I could say on the air, but I can't. Blankety, blankety, blank, Mike. I hate this blankety, blankety, blanking country. No, don't hate the country. Just hate the Nazis who are running it. You know, how are you going to hate Germany, even back in the 30s? Beautiful country. Look what Germany produced. You know, we were talking about this the other night. The science, the music, the literature, the poetry, the opera. The German people, the American people, we're not homogeneous people. We're heterogeneous. How do you say the word, Kathy? Heterogeneous?
Heterogeneous.
And homogeneous,
like your milk. Homogenized,
or you could say homogeneous. Okay, thank you. You know, we're not that way. We don't. There were people here who were homogeneous.
Why don't you just say indigenous?
Thank you. We did have people here who were indigenous, but we butchered them all and gave them all cholera and diseases and alcoholism. But
and casinos.
And casino. That's right. They took their ancient traditions and cultures and turned them into gambling casinos. Yeah. Oh, and in his speech the other night, Bush took a moment to thank. Remember the 36 nations who have troops on the ground in Iraq. And we tried. I think we found 21 nations, some of them like Moldova, used to be part of the Soviet Union. At least I can say Soviet Union. Had like six. Well, Iceland has decided to pull out their one soldier. Iceland is pulling out its lone soldier. One soldier from Iceland has decided, screw this, I'm going to go home because pretty soon I'm not going to have a home left. Because of global warming, the Iceland ice sheet is turning it from Iceland into mudland, so I better go home. And so he's gone. So in case you missed it today, pretty much constant drumbeat of preparing the American public for another O.J. Simpson trial, in case you missed it, Bush is... falsely stated last night that he supports redeployment, his word, from Iraq as a way to bring divided America together. Oh, God, that just makes my heart beat so pump all that patriotic blood when I hear a phrasing like that. Bring divided America together. That's what he said last night, that he supports redeployment. Being the lying son of a bitch and the murderer that he is, and the truth is out now, that... Actually, they're talking about a 10-year-long involvement with Iraq, and the Center for American Progress suggests that we could well suffer between 8 and 11,000 additional deaths and another up to 80,000 wounded. So, you know, what did I tell you the other night? It's never... Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. So just a little unnecessary repetition here, as my 8th grade English teacher used to label it. In his speech, Bush lied. Again, he always lies. He lies if it's 9 o'clock at night and he says it's 9 o'clock at night. There's a lie there somewhere. He alleged that he supported redeployment of our military from Iraq. Not true. He is now pushing for what he calls an enduring relationship. Jesus, God. So what would Americans have to commit to Bush's long-term plan? Today, the Center for American Progress offered a conservative projection suggesting that we could well suffer between an additional 8,220 and 11,167 deaths and potentially 59 to 80,000 wounded. Furthermore, despite three different scenarios on troop levels, each adds up to well over $1 trillion spent on the war by fiscal year 2017. $1 trillion, which is $1,000 billion. $1 trillion. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the Bush Petraeus plan of 130,000 Americans in Iraq for 10 more years is not a reduction in our footprint. It is an insult to the intelligence of the American people to call that a new direction. Nancy, I don't want to be too harsh here, but I'm beginning to feel like you're an insult to the American public because you do not exercise your obligations as the Speaker of the House and order the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee to enter the articles of impeachment presented to you by Dennis Kucinich and get it going. So before you start calling the criminal, the mass killer, a disgrace, think about that old don't throw rocks if you live in something. You folks are on target tonight. Three updates on what we were talking about the first hour. Here's the first one. This is from Barb's. Barb. Here's the Kurds' answer to Hussein al-Shahristani's statement in Vienna that the agreement the Kurds signed with the Hunt Oil Company is illegal. Here's the Kurds' answer. Iraq's Northern Kurdish administration has demanded that Baghdad's oil minister be sacked. We want him fired! Following his remarks that oil contracts signed by the regional government are illegal. The KRG, that's the Kurdistan Regional Government spokesman, Khalid Salah, told reporters in Erbil, Iraq, that oil minister Hussein al-Shahristani should quit rather than, quote, interfere in the internal affairs, end quote, of the Kurdish region. Do you understand that? The internal affairs. That's like the southern United States telling Abraham Lincoln that Lincoln's war minister should quit rather than interfere in the internal affairs of the southern region of the United States. And you know what happened shortly after that, right? Kurdish officials say they will honor the contracts and also claim to have reached an agreement with Baghdad whereby it will receive 17% of the country's oil revenues. So on it goes. On it goes. This is so obvious. It's obvious to you and me. It's obvious to the rest of the world. But it is a blind spot for Republicans and especially for George W. Bush. Republicans don't care about human life. They care about sperm and ova, their own sperm, and they like to make sure that all the ovas are protected. But they don't care about human life. They just don't. Oh, well. Now, in the sex case, this is from today. The lawyer who sexually attacked a 21-year-old woman at a Young Republicans convention said in court when he was sentenced that he had disgraced himself. He gets 5 years in the sex case, 5 years in prison. He disgraced himself, his family, and his political party. That's what he says. Michael Florey told a judge in Northeast Ohio's Cuyahoga County that his humiliation and self-destruction should be punishment enough for his felony guilty plea. No, Michael, it doesn't work that way, you dumb little rat Republican bastard. You raped someone. And you did other things, too. But because you pled guilty to rape, you're only going to get 5 years, so stop whining. But there's more, of course. He will now be a sex offender. The judge, of course, disagreed that his humiliation and self-destruction should be punishment enough for the felony he committed against a 21-year-old woman. The judge sentenced Florey, the head of the Michigan Federation of Young Republicans, to 5 years in prison, which is the maximum term. The judge also told the victim and a packed courtroom, he said, quote, I'm sickened that he's an attorney, end quote. Now, Florey, of course, probably is not going to be a lawyer for much longer. Michigan suspended his law license when he pled guilty on the 24th of July, and he will now face a disbarment proceeding. His wife, by the way, oh, yeah, of course he's married. His Republican wife, sitting on the defendant's side of the courtroom, rolled her eyes, shook her head, and then sobbed as Florey expressed, quote, deep, profound remorse, end quote, for what he did, and pleaded, begged for probation for the sake of his, this is sad, 4-year-old son. Florey said, my son needs his father. When you were raping a drunk woman, did that thought cross your mind, Michael? That your son might, when you get out of prison, Michael, if you do get out, because guys like you usually wind up having a rather intense experience once you get in the big house. But when and if you do get out, Michael, your son will be probably 9 years old, a fifth grader, and as his father comes home after a rape charge, I don't know. It's going to be rough. Michael, I see the need for family counseling on your event horizon. Anyway, back at court over and over, Flory referred to himself pitiably. He lamented that his stupid choices destroyed him politically, ended his career, and sullied his political accomplishments. Michael, actually, the reason you're going to prison is not because of that, but because you sexually assaulted and penetrated another human being. It has nothing to do with your stupid choices and everything to do with the fact that you're a goddamn rapist. Don't you get it? You Republicans never do get it, do you? You don't understand that it's not about you. It's about the people you wound, rape, murder, dismember, deny a chance to breathe clean air, live in a house, you filthy pigs. It's not about you, Michael. And then he said to the judge, if I'm forced to be a registered sex offender, I'll never be able to go to my son's school athletic events. Oh, Michael. You know, it's sad for your son. It really is. But you're the one that did the destroying. You destroyed your own family. Although reference to your son's athletic events is the only thing that's being reported that you were lamenting. Oh, that's right. Your political career and your political affiliations and all the hard work you'd done for the Republican Party and yada, 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 yada. Michael. When you were raping a drunk 21-year-old young woman safely off at a young Republicans convention in a hotel room, did you think about that? No, of course you didn't. And if you did, it didn't matter. It was just some sodden drunk little bitch. Who cares? Right, Michael? You're a Republican. You can do what you want to do. By God, look at your leader.
And a pack of cigarettes. At first you were resistant, but now you are my friend. I knew that I would get you in the end.
Prison bitch. Prison bitch.
I guess that you were sent from up above.
Yeah. Prison bitch.
Anyone past the hour. Here's another update. This comes from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. Subject line says, Iceland doesn't even have a military. This is regard to my report that the government of Iceland is pulling out its one soldier out of Iraq. Michael writes, the lone Icelander isn't even a soldier. He's a member of the Icelandic Crisis Response Unit. And it sure sounds as if he's being pulled out because there's nothing he can do to respond to the crisis. Yeah. But there's Bush. Was it last night? Time flies when you're having fun, right? Now, the addendum, this is the part that the mainstream media has a hard time dealing with, although the LA Times seems to lead the path. New York Times does, too, lead the pack when it comes to reporting on the deaths of Iraqis. It's very difficult to keep track of the deaths of the Iraqis because the U.S. military doesn't give a rat's ass how many, the military command doesn't give a damn how many Iraqis die. They're, you know, they're gooks, they're slopes, they're ragheads, they're hajis. You know, they're not human. Just shoot them, get them out of the way, kick them to the side, let's move on. What are we doing tomorrow morning? And the Iraqi government is, because it's a puppet government owned by Bush Incorporated, they don't keep track either. So it's difficult to know how many Iraqis have been killed as a result of our invasion and occupation. Yesterday, a car bomb blew up in Sadr City, killing at least four people. And this new survey suggests that the civilian death toll from the war will probably be, right now, over a million. A million. That figure is from ORB, a British polling agency that has conducted several surveys in Iraq. And they released their findings following statements this week from the U.S. military defending itself against accusations it was trying to play down Iraqi deaths to make the strategy appear successful. Sure. You know, Bush said the other night that... the military said, I guess Petraeus, somebody said that civilian deaths from the sectarian violence had fallen more than 55% since the surge. But that, you know, where they get those numbers, they just pull them out of thin air. According to the ORB poll, they did a survey in Iraq. Don't ask me how they did it. 1,461 adults participated in the survey. And it suggested, the results suggest that the total number slain during more than 4 years of war was more than 1.2 million. The organization ORB said it drew its conclusions from responses to the question about those living under one roof. Here's the question. How many members of your household, if any, have died as a result of the conflict in Iraq since 2003? End quote. Now, based on the answers and based on Iraq's estimated number of households, about 4 million households, ORB said the 1.2 million figure was reasonable. There's no way to verify the number, of course, because nobody cares. Nobody keeps track of the dead Hajis. Well, why bother? Why bother? Doesn't matter. ORB said its poll had a margin of error of 2.4%. According to its findings, nearly one in two households in Baghdad had lost at least one member to war-related violence. 22% of households nationwide had suffered at least one death. 48% of the victims were shot to death. 20% died as a result of car bombs and other explosions, and military bombardments were blamed for most of the other fatalities. The survey was conducted last month. Jesus, God in heaven. Can you imagine that, huh? Hi, I'm from a British polling agency. Oh, watch out, watch out. There's bullets flying around. Can you tell me how many members of your household has died in this war? Oh, get that. Oh my God, it hits your baby? All right, I realize you got to get to the hospital. There's no hospital to get to. Can you answer my question? My God. All right, we want to, I've got two bits of Chicken Hawk Chuckle Nuts, one from his primetime address the other night, and then today he went and had lunch with Marines at Quantico. He always goes for the props, doesn't he? This rat bastard. We got time to do one of them? No? All right, we'll do them both when we come back then. And we are going to move on. What else have I got here? I think we're going to move on to the to your phone calls. And see what you got on your mind. I am looking forward to this weekend. We've got good weather heading into Atlanta after some real violent storms today. Good weather. There's the Piedmont Arts Festival that is going to be presented. Piedmont Park is our version of Central Park in New York. It was designed by the same man, Olmsted. And we're going to take Molly out. And I think we're going to take Molly out. This morning she got...
We might shave her head.
We might have to shave her head. This morning she was up in her room playing. Kathy went up to say, Molly, what are you doing? And Molly had gotten her little blunt play shear, scissors that she cuts out her paper dolls and stuff, and given herself a haircut. It was really incredible. So Kathy, after Kathy stopped shrieking and I was able to peel her down off the ceiling, Kathy took her into a hair salon and they tried to repair the damage. Stay with us. I'm Mike Beloy. This is Nova M.
One person can make a difference in somebody's life. Find the children of those who are incarcerated and love them.
Yeah, that's for you, Michael Florey. You're going to be incarcerated. It is about 25 before the hour. All right, let us move to the dark comedy part of the program, wherein we provide chuckle nuts for your listening pleasure. The Chicken Hawk himself, his eighth primetime address on Iraq, this is from last night. We just have one for you, but we want you to hear this. According to this jackass's plan, at the end of 2008, at least 100,000 troops will remain in Iraq. Basically, a return to pre-surge levels or close to it. That would indicate that the surge failed to accomplish its goals. We all know that already. And that allows Bush to hand it off to someone else. This is what this rat bastard has done his whole life. He makes hideous messes, and then daddy or daddy's friends come in and kill everybody and get their mops out and clean up the blood and gore and hide everything, and then Bush can go, Georgie can go on and kill more people and do more screw-ups. We know that Iraq cannot meet the so-called benchmarks. It's not going to happen. Not in this lifetime. Not in this time-space continuum. It's not going to happen. And Bush himself has said that meeting the benchmarks are necessary for Americans to leave Iraq. You know, that's like my telling you, okay, here is a wet cake of soap. Strike this match, and I will stop assaulting your wife or your husband when you get it struck. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep assaulting your family member. Very simple, just strike the match on the wet cake of soap. Sorry, what? I'm one match, one cake of soap. With his recent comparison to Vietnam and his mentioning of Korea, not to mention the permanent bases that Halliburton is building there and the huge U.S. embassy. It's clear that Bush plans for a U.S. occupation of Iraq for the foreseeable future. We've got to stop kidding ourselves. We really do. There is no. We mentioned this last week. I'm not trying to say I'm ahead of the curve. I'm not. I suck along the same way you do. You know, the tide pulls me. The vacuum created by no thought in this country sucks me in the same way it sucks you in. But we stated last week on this program, and I say we because both Kathy and I agreed to it, there's no end to this. The Democrats ought to stop talking about getting Bush or getting anyone to pull anybody out of anything. It's not going to stop. So here's Bush making it clear that he has plans for U.S. occupation in Iraq for an indefinite period of time.
The principle guiding my decisions on troop levels in Iraq is return on success.
Oh, my God.
The more successful we are, the more American troops can return home.
Oh,
and in all we do, I will ensure that our commanders on the ground have the troops and flexibility they need to defeat the enemy.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
This vision for a reduced American presence also has the support of Iraqi leaders from all communities.
Sure it does.
At the same time, they understand that their success will require U.S. political, economic, and security engagement that extends beyond my presidency. These Iraqi leaders have asked for an enduring relationship with America. And we are ready to begin building that relationship. in a way that protects our interests in the region.
What are our interests in the region, you murderous bastard? What are our interests in the region? I thought it was to remove Saddam. Hey, they're at my dad. I thought it was to... You hanged him. He's dead. He's gone. Return on success? Is that a play on words? Does that have something to do with investment procedures? Or does it have to do with the more successful we are, the more American troops can return? Oh, the more successful. And who decides that, you murderous son of a bitch? Who decides that, George? Your apple-polishing general, Petraeus? Betrayus? Who decides that? What makes success? It was toppling Saddam. No. It was securing the oil fields. No. It was building democracy. No. It was having elections. No. It was installing a government. No. It was no. It was no. It was no. It was what are the measurements of success? You murderous bastard! What? How many more Americans are going to die? Well, estimates are anywhere up to 18,000 more. Are you ready for it? Another wall in Washington. Not as many this time. Not 58,000. Maybe only 30,000. Huh? That's better, right? That's better. And American moms and dads, please tell your sons and daughters to do something else. Don't join the military. Don't ever join Bush's military. It's insane. It's insanity. Join this military to do what? To give your life for George Bush's oil partners? Oh my God. Oh my God. Really? You would allow your child to do that? You women would allow your husbands to do that? You husbands would allow your wives and mothers of your children? I don't give a damn if they're in the National Guard. Tell the National Guard to bite your ass. You're not going to do it. And you women, read the Greek play Lysistrata. Just go read it. So Chucklenuts, speaking to reporters outside Quantico Marine Corps base today, yeah, he went head lunch, sat around with the boys, told a couple of dirty jokes, ha, 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 hey, play little military grab ass with the troops, hey, you gonna go die for me, you are, hey, bless your little heart, your little stinking heart, where are you from, boy, Arkansas, hey, I hit out in Arkansas one time, where are you from? You from Alabama? I could tell you a thing or three about Alabama. Give me one of them chicken wings. After saluting those about to die for his illegal activity in Iraq, he stopped to tell reporters what he was discussing with the Marines at Quantico. More talk about long-term strategies and claptrap about fighting them there so we don't face them here. Yada, yada, yada. Ad nauseam, ad infinitum, ad crazium.
I made it clear that the sacrifices that they and their families were going to make were necessary for the short-term and long-term security of the country. That we'd rather defeat the enemy overseas than have to face them here.
Yeah.
That we fully understand, or I fully understand, that if we were to be driven out of Iraq, the Middle East could be in chaos, and chaos would embolden Sunni extremists like Al-Qaeda, and chaos would embolden Iran. And that it's in our interests that we help Iraq succeed. It's not only in our interest, but it's also in the Iraqis' interest.
Oh, really? That's a nice afterthought there, you little twit. Well, let's not see the Middle East in chaos. Oh, Jesus, God, no. We don't want chaos. We don't want Gaza and the occupied territories and South Lebanon Iraq and Kurdistan and Turkey all in turmoil. Oh, wait, it already is. Oh, well, what are we going to do? Uh-oh. And as far as chaos would embolden Sunni extremists, no, no, no. All you have to do to keep that tamped down, you twit, is go have lunch with one of them. Like you did with the Sunni sheikh, and 11 days later he was blown into red mist. Because you touched him. You are unclean, Bush. It's insanity, isn't it? You've got to decide at some point, is he insane, or are the vast majority of Americans are insane regarding this occupation and this constant murder of our people and their people. A million dead. Jesus, God. A million dead. Wow. A million people who have had their lives taken from them. Almost 3,800 American young men and women who have had their lives taken from them. For what? Somebody, please tell me for what. Petraeus can't. Crocker can't. Bush, Cheney, none of them. Unless they're honest, for greed, for power, for oil, for loot, for money, lucre, oil contracts. And for this, we condemn hundreds of thousands of people to death. Makes you feel a little of that vertigo, doesn't it? Huh? Makes your head start to spin just a little bit, right? Your inner ear, all those little hairs in your inner ear, you get all sloshed around in that fluid, and you start to go, Jesus Christ, I'm going to faint. Huh? You feel that? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Yeah, I want one. God. All right, the phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's see who we can trick into talking with us here. Let's start with Fred, who's calling from Palo Alto, California, listening via the Internet. Hey, Fred.
Hi, how you doing, Mike? I don't want to steal all of your thunder tonight, but I've been on hold for a while and making some notes. And,
okay,
that's love cool. Your show, just the best. I think your show is going to be in a time capsule someday about what this horrible, wretched period has been about.
Oh, it's awful.
And savored for the ages, actually. And Krugman's lead column was that the Hunt oil deal. That's true in the Times today. And it never leads back, as you led with this today, to the Prescott Bush, to the Greenwich, Connecticut Round Hill Country Club crowd,
right,
that Bush comes from. If 3 years ago today, if you check the New York Times, speaking of the New York Times, the number one book in the United States was the American Dynasty by Kevin Phillips, an excellent, excellent writer, who didn't get along with Kissinger back in 1970. They threw him out of the Nixon White House.
Yeah.
But these guys are, we didn't want to play ideologue with them, you know, so he was kind of an intellectual. And so he wrote this incredible book that I recommend to you and all your listeners. You're probably familiar with it, I'm sure you are. But, they're all connected. It's just bizarre. Michael Moore was the only person in Fahrenheit, and he's got Fahrenheit 9/11 and a half coming out, by the way, next year. I did a live chat with him, by the way, and he answered that question, what his next project's going to be. Not that I have some hot poop here, but, he did mention that, and that he did want to do a hypocrisy with gay Republicans. He's going to release, I think, one or the other or both next year. But I've got it here, speaking to the New York Times, too, a memo from 1981 for James Baker III from Fred Fielding.
Right.
And in one of the bullet items concerns Fred Thompson, and they're going over Bill director of the CIA in 1981, his financial problems. Uh-huh. So all of those names, Mike,
sure,
are connected, aren't they not?
Oh, they no, they are. It all has to do with this right-wing cabal in this country that extends back, you know, before you and me. It goes all the way back to at a time when Hitler was making his move, even back in the late 20s, early 30s, and the cabal of American industrialists and right-wingers who wanted an alliance with him. People like Lindbergh, people like Henry Ford, the list just goes on of Americans, white Americans, who wanted to connect with the Nazis. And as far as the extermination of the Jews was concerned, that was okay if the result was a putting in place permanent right-wing power across the white nations of Northern Europe. And I guess at some point they might have wanted to include the Russians, but they looked at the Russians as being almost subhuman. So it was the Americans, the Brits, the Germans, that was pretty much the driving force behind it. And those people are still around, and there's still some of them. The descendants of those people, I should say, you know, nobody who was working with Hitler in the 30s, I don't imagine, is still around, at least in a position of power.
Well, but only the Bush family dynasty, if I can interrupt you, because the only person, I believe, successfully prosecuted under the Trading with the Enemies Act in 1942 was, in fact, Prescott Bush and his minions over at Harriman Brown.
Yeah.
On Wall Street. So
Yeah, it's just astonishing. And this, that's not ancient history. That is history that Americans should
Absolutely.
Know and should have known when Bush and his moneyed backers decided, you know, back in the 80s, this guy was a stumble bum looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, you know, for the past 7 years, 6.5 years, he's been the president of the United States and able to send hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths.
You can look this up. He was fired by the guy that runs, there's a guy that runs, Brillstein, or I forget his name right now, one of the partners, one of the principals. And he called him aside, and I believe you're right, in 1989 from the Carlyle Group. Sound familiar? That's where all the money from our treasury has been funneled.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the only people on this radio show who can say, I'm somebody's got to connect the dots to his father and Jim Baker. Now, that's enough of this stuff. And the guy that runs the Carlyle Group called him aside and said, look, Georgie, you're not adding anything to the, because he knew his father. He said, he called him by his nickname. He said, you're not working out. You come in, you're telling corny jokes at the meetings. You don't contribute anything, and we're putting you on the board, give you a stipend, $100,000+, and you're not doing anything.
Right.
So they fired him.
Yes.
And you're right. And all his phony oil companies, as Michael Moore said, and Slater and Moore, Bush's brains guys in Texas. So you know, these angel investors showed up. They've been in business with the Saudi royal family and those people out there in the Middle East. That was the subject of the debate with Yarbrough and Bush in Houston, Texas, when he ran for Senate down there.
Well,
in business with those folks.
It's impossible for Americans to connect the dots because it seems to be so confusing. You're right. It usually boils down to the same 20 or 30 names that just keep popping up and popping up and popping up. But you know, I sometimes think, what would I be doing? Would I know all the stuff that I know if I weren't in talk radio? And the quick answer is no. I'm forced to do this kind of research just to have the program. So I think back in the day when I wasn't working at CNN, wasn't working in radio, and had no need to do that kind of research, you know, I'm walking around kind of with my thumb in my ear, too, where it concerns the hideousness of this. It just so happens that I got into media work seriously and solidly just about the time that Reagan was,
right.
You know, the puppet Reagan was put in position of power, and hence got more or less a front row seat to the past, 27 years of just unstopping atrocities committed by these Republicans. So, but I know what you're saying. Listen, I appreciate you checking in, Fred. Thanks. We'll talk again. Take care, pal. We'll be back after the break, Two Seekers, with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. You can sing along. Go ahead.
I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook. Like a knife from an old-fashioned book. I have saved.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Whatever happened to Jennifer Warnes? Is she still she's still touring and singing? It's like she was born to sing Leonard Cohen music. Email here from Angie about what I said last hour about Republicans should be outlawed. It should be a crime. It should be a crime against humanity to be a member of the Republican Party. And when the Democrats take over the House, the Senate, and the presidency with veto-proof majorities, they should move quickly for a constitutional amendment to make certain that anyone who tries to hold office in the Republican Party should be sent to a re-education camp. And, well, you know. And she writes, "Hi, Mike, you make a very good point. Republicans are always about selfishness. They are, to one degree or another, imperialists, supporting the pillage, theft, and slavery of others for their own profit. Republicans' only concerns are self and money. These are people who claim that they owe nothing to their fellow man or this country because they worked hard and earned it all by themselves. This is a lie and a self-deluded fantasy, of course. They drive their cars on roads that were democratically paid for. They don't build their own homes or cars. They don't have to hunt for their food. The list goes on endlessly. They take advantage of every democratic principle and opportunity, every publicly paid-for shortcut, every benefit our democratic process has brought us. The Republicans fought every one of those benefits because they didn't want to pay for them. It's all about selfishness and money. If it's between money and human life, money wins. If it's between money and the environment, money wins. Nothing comes before money, not ethics, not morality, not truth, not necessity, not freedom, not the future, not even the health and well-being of children. They are imperialist thinkers and tell themselves that those who can't cut it, who can't cut in their cutthroat system, don't deserve to eat or have a roof over their head. They measure the worth of human beings by wealth. They're despicable people who are grotesquely mentally ill. We cannot afford to let these selfish imperialists decide the fate of the world ever again because, as we can finally see, all they want to do is plunder the planet and kill everyone. That's a crap plan. It's always been that way, and it always will be. It's time to ban Republicans and get people in charge to respect the rights of others. What a breath of fresh air that would be." Yeah. All right, let's go to your phone. Thanks, Angie. Let's go to your phone calls here. Who is next? William, who is calling from Hollywood, listening on the internet. Hey, William.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Fine.
You know, earlier you were talking about numbers, like 1.2 million people dead, Iraqis. And it brought me back to over a year ago. I saw the Crosby, it was a Nash concert. And there were 18,000 people in the crowd. And due to the setting, you know, it was the impeach Bush. I kept looking at the crowd, trying to imagine 18,000 and thinking about a million, you know.
Oh, sure.
You just can't. You know, it's just incomprehensible, the numbers. I mean, somehow people have to be shown these numbers somewhere where they can see what it really means. And the other thing, did you happen to see anything about torture boys going away today?
No.
No? Oh, my God.
I saw the send-off they gave to Tony Snow where people turned out by the hundreds. That appeared to be the area between the White House and the old executive office building on the White House grounds where there were just hundreds of people applauding Tony Snow as he left, which was probably a decent thing to do when you consider that he's not leaving to make money. He's leaving, I would hope, to make peace with whomever he has to make peace with because... you know, he has a severe end-stage metastatic colon cancer. And, I, you know, like I said, I have a family member, my brother, who went through that and died. So The send-off for Tony was touching in its way. It really was, because they weren't saying goodbye like, we'll see you later. They're saying goodbye, goodbye. But as far as Gonzalez is concerned, no, I have no idea. He's a disgrace, whereas Tony Snow is just a mouthpiece for a bunch of liars.
I don't know which was worse, Bush's thing last night, which I was glad you cut that short, or what I saw today. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Was there something on television with
Gonzalez? Yeah, it was on this morning. I was watching the World Trade Tower guy that maintenance guy telling his story, then they cut into it and brought, I see these people marching up the different parts of the military, I guess the Navy and the Army and so on, with the flags and the rifles. You hear the rifles click and they were held upright.
Yeah.
They walked up towards the podium and here's Torture Boy standing to the left like a Salvador Dali impression of a Cheshire Cat. And all it was the wonderful things he's done to save our children from drugs and on and on and on with. It was just unbelievable. I thought I was imagining it when I saw it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, filthy, filthy little man.
After all that garbage on, you know, at these hearings he had.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even explain it to you. I won't even go into it because I don't want to ruin your weekend. It was horrible.
Well, I'm sure it'll be replayed over the weekend. Maybe if I get real drunk or real stoned this weekend, I'll try to watch it. But of course, I don't do that anymore because I'm a responsible parent now. Hey, thanks, William. I appreciate your comments. Take care. We'll talk again. But I can remember. I can pretend. I always thought in my advancing years, you know, it would be fun to just be able to slosh back as many bottles of wine as necessary and, you know, stay away from driving a car, maybe smoke a joint now and again. But, you know, then we had a baby. Put a stop to that. Maybe when she's grown up, I'll be able to do that again. Wait a minute. Holy God, I'll be in my 80s? All right, never mind. Jeff is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to ask you about that whole 67 members of the Senate that we're supposed to have after the next election and an overwhelming majority in the House.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to stop that from happening is the fact that Republicans cheat on elections. They, you know, I don't see anything that's going to stop them, I mean, from doing it in every single election as long as they're able to. I mean, the fact that we have the majorities that we have now, I think that it's only through their cheating that our majorities aren't larger now. We should have we should be a lot closer to those, you know, veto-proof majorities now after the 2006 elections. But, they cheated in those elections, you know, as it was, and, you know, it's going to continue. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get those kind of majorities.
Well, I think it will happen because I think people have been clued in to the thievery and the lies and the debauchery of these filthy Republicans. So, all the thievery that occurred with voter suppression and with jiggering the machines, we're all hip to that now. And I don't think we're going to let it happen again. And besides that, the country has had enough of Republicans, probably for the next couple of three generations. By the time you're an old man, they might be talking about Republicans in public office again, Jeff.
From your mouth to God's ears. I can only hope, but you know, just you know, past history just you know tells me it's going to be different.
Well, let's see what happens. I just have a feeling that America has had enough. Hey, thanks, Jeff. I'm glad you called in, and we'll talk again. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Those black robes couldn't hide your Bush T-shirt there inside. You made the man with a fewer votes win. Congratulations, George. Well, it's all bought and paid for. The history books will have to write you in. Or maybe you could pass a law so the rest of us can all see how the man with fewer votes.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Money's good, work's okay. It's like everything is rolling our way. Till you got a little devil in the eye. You know that bastard's one big lie.
So be careful with your heart and what you love. Make sure that it was safe.
It's about 22 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Tim is calling from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Actually, the reason why I called is because I listened to you, and you were talking about the guy, Michael Flory.
Flory, uh-huh.
Yeah, the attorney who raped that woman.
Yeah, the head of the Republicans, young Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that when I was coming home from school just right now, and it's sickening, and it's amazing how, the group who calls themselves morals and Christians do something as sick and as evil as that, because I live in a poor neighborhood in East Los Angeles, and it's safe here for children to ride bikes and have fun because they do not tolerate rape, and it's predominantly, you know, Democrats and progressive out here because we're poor. But another concern that I have is the woman. I wonder how long before, or they're probably doing it now, they start calling her all these bad things, like she deserved to get raped, or she tempted him, Flory to rape her. And it just blows my mind because I know there are a lot of Republicans out there who would say crap like that she's not the victim, Flory's the victim, and she deserved what she got, and he doesn't deserve what he's getting.
Yeah. Well, that's in keeping with the standard operating procedure of Republicans. Nothing is they take responsibility for nothing.
Exactly.
That they've ever done. It's always somebody else's fault. And since all Republicans, to one degree or another, despise women, they just can't stand women, which is reflected in their politics and in their religious nuttery. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that they've already cranked up their slime machines, because this bastard's going to jail for 5 years, and it's going to be a hard time for anytime a well-fed, raping, psychopathic Republican has to go to jail as the means of taking responsibility for what he's done. It's rough on these guys. Arguably, you or I, I don't know you, but arguably I could handle 5 years in the slam someplace. But there are some people who simply couldn't. And part of it is, if not all of it, or most of it is mental.
Right.
They build jails. They don't populate them.
Exactly.
That's the way they look at it. They build jails for dark-skinned people and for liberals and for people that disagree with their interpretation of their gods and so on and so forth. So as a result, when they wind up in the slam, it's the kind of hard time that is permanently damaging. When this guy comes out, he'll either come out a Jesus freak, or just so stunned about what had happened to him, he will be useless for the rest of his life. And all that for, for a quick jump on a drunk woman at a convention of hypocrites. It's just astonishing. Just astonishing.
And I wonder what's going to happen with her. I wonder what, how she's going to think. And that's what I'm really, really concerned about.
The victim?
Like, yeah. Will she say, like, oh, it was my fault, because people are going to say to her, it's your fault, it's your fault, you did something wrong.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how a Republican woman it becomes a Republican to begin with. I don't know how any woman handles violence like that. Were I a woman who was on the receiving end of that kind of violence, I swear to God, I would. After I got out of the hospital or filed a complaint or whatever, I would get a gun and murder the son of a bitch in the street. I mean, just that's it. That's the end of it. Because that kind of violation, that's why I've often said I'm glad I'm not of African descent. I'm glad I'm not a female, because what those two groups have experienced in this country, were I to have to go through that, I would either be dead in prison or in an insane asylum. So I don't know how the woman is going to handle that. I don't know how any woman handles that kind of an assault. Reparative therapy, trying to remove herself from it. I don't know. The other thing is, I don't know how any woman handles, considering herself, these two are not connected, how any woman considers herself a Republican. I don't know how a woman can do that. They are anti-family. They're anti, just like log cabin Republicans. How can a gay person be a Republican? That's insane to me. Listen, gotta go. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your call, Tim. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. Mary in Denver writes about what I said about where we have learned about election fraud and the stealing of votes. Subject line is election fraud's not dead. Mike, I'd like to share your confidence that 2008 will produce more honest election results. You know Greg Palast's warnings on that subject. Rotten electronic voting machines are only part of the problem, and our Democratic Congress folk are nowhere near outlawing them. Also, the current Department of Justice continues to promote the elimination of Democratic voters from registration lists, as documented in a piece at alternate.org. Rove's voter purges are alive and well, and we need to watch our backs no more than ever. Mary in Denver. Yeah, I'm not suggesting, Mary, that we can all go back to believing that we actually live in an unmanipulated electoral process sort of system. No. I'm just saying that the theft of votes was, the machines were calibrated to make it as unnoticeable as possible. That's why it always occurred in very close contests. That's where the Republican candidate, whether it was this murderous bastard George Bush or some senator or some representative or some county commissioner, that's where they would win in closely contested areas. I think I'm right on this. No, I think Greg Palast and Brad Friedman are absolutely right about realizing that If we turn our eyes away for 1 second, they're going to try it again. But my point is, you can't steal votes to the degree that would be necessary to alter what's going to happen in November 2008. I honestly believe that. I am not a big fan, as most of you know, of the Democratic Party leadership. There are very few people in positions of power in the Democratic Party that I would give you 2 cents for. But, you know, having a lazy bum a Congress, or a Congress that is murderous in everything it does, I'll take the bums every time. And there's something about power that invigorates. You know, the Democrats had their asses handed to them in 1994. That was 13 years ago. And they've only recently gotten just an inkling of what it would be like to be in charge of the committees again. Plus, I think there are some people of conscience in elected office in the Democratic Party. Yes, I'm not, you know, there's no blanket condemnation here. I still get emails from people that say, you know, you say the things you say, and yet you claim to be a Democrat. How can you do that? You know what your Democratic Party has done to you. Yeah, I don't dispute that. On the other hand, I'm not ready to still, you know, maybe I'm the battered spouse metaphor here, because I keep coming back for more from the Democratic Party. But I, you know, I can't help myself. Jesus, I sound like an enabler, don't I? I can't help myself, because I still believe that the principles on which the Democratic Party has operated are still operable, are still valid now more than ever. And the problem is not the Democratic Party as an abstract, it's the people who claim to be the leaders of our party. They have to be thrown out on their asses. And I'm not just talking about Reid and Pelosi. I'm talking about these people now who are in positions of power, heading these committees in the House and the Senate. People who promised us one thing, or at least we thought they were promising one thing if we busted our asses to get them elected, and are now reneging on those promises. You know who they are. You've got your list. I've got mine. So we know who the broken cogs in the wheel of the Democratic Party really are. We know who they are. I can't give up on the Democratic Party. I can't. And it's not that I feel that the Greens aren't good, or that independence, or the Peace and Justice, or the Peace and Freedom Party. You know, all these parties, the Socialist Workers Party, if it's still around, these are all good parties. But in order to effect change, in order to stop what's going on, the Democrat or the Republican Party in the United States is leading the rush to annihilation of everybody on earth. Back in the 60s, they were doing it with their lust for their sexual attraction to nuclear weapons. Now they're doing it because of their contempt and disgust for science. I still hear these rat bastards trying to say that global warming, that the jury's still out. Well, we're not sure. Okay, there might be a little bit of influence by hydrocarbons, but not the way Al Gore tries to present. You know, it's that sort of thing. Republicans are members of a party that is a cult of death. Always has been, just like Islam and Christianity. These are religions that are nothing more than that, based on the cult of death. That's all they are. Come on. I know. Some people transcend it. Some Muslims, some Christians transcend it and do good works. Fine. Then let them declare their contempt for Islam and Christianity, then, or the Republican Party. You know, I always try to, Kathy and I are talking about this today, how does Olympia Snow and who's the other Republican, Susan Collins, how do these two female Republican senators, how do they do it? How do they remain in this party? I don't get that. I just don't. And I realize that sounds faintly, to some, overtly to others, sexist. But I can't help it. How do two seemingly otherwise decent American women declare themselves to be a party that is anti-family, anti-child, anti-peace, pro-war, pro-death? How do they do it? Now, extended across the gender barrier. How does anybody do it? How can anybody declare themselves to be a Republican to the extent that they'll run for public office as a Republican, to be in a position of power to initiate and pass laws as a Republican, laws that are a detrimental, poisonous, hate-filled, destructive, anti-life? How do you do that? How do you do that? I don't understand. And every one of the sons of bitches claim to be religious. They believe in God or Jesus or whoever they believe in. There's some Jews in there too. You know, I believe in Yahweh or whatever. But it's just stunning to me. Back to your phone calls. Claris is calling from Reno, Nevada, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Claris, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I love your show. I'm an avid listener.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
I was listening when you were talking about the casualties, the number of casualties in Iraq and all that. I was actually born in Baghdad.
Really?
And I came to the States when I was 4 years old. I grew up here. I'm an American citizen. And we're part of the minority Christian population. We've been there for about 2,000 years. We speak the language of Christ. It's called Aramaic.
Aramaic, yeah.
Right. So mm-hmm. I speak Arabic and Aramaic. However, when you were talking about the number of casualties, Iraqi civilians and things like that, it came to mind. Last year, there was one of our bishops was actually kidnapped and beheaded, along with his three assistants.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and the only news station that reported that I heard it on was NPR and one of the newspapers. I can't remember which one it was. But, I mean, even when you hear about any casualties or anything, the Christian population is totally ignored on the news reports and everything like that. And there's a lot of. I mean, we've been there for 2,000 years.
Right.
There's a lot of us.
No, I understand. Due to the fact that the U.S. military and the Iraqi puppet government neither reports casualty figures, it stands to reason that they also would not report a breakdown of the casualty figures they're not reporting on. You know, how many children are dead? How many Christians are dead? How many Muslims are dead? How many atheists are dead? They don't care. Nobody in that sad country cares. Nobody cares anymore. It has become the definable or the classic failed state. There is no government there. When I hear this maniac George Bush talking about supporting the government of Nouri al-Maliki, I think, but there is no government. It is boycotted by a third or more of the ministers. It cannot function. It cannot deliver even the basic services. You don't call that a government.
No, it's a puppet.
A marionette. That's all it is. And how long has it been since you have gone back to your country of birth?
You know what? I haven't been back yet.
Ever?
No, never. I'd like to go back, mostly for the artifacts, but
it's probably gone now. Yeah, what's left. Yeah,
yeah,
I hear
what's
you.
Left. My parents went back in 1989, just before Saddam went into Kuwait.
Right.
And they took pictures of you know, the gates of Ishtar that Saddam was trying to rebuild. It was beautiful pictures that they brought back, but those are probably destroyed and bombed out by now.
Yeah, I'll bet. That's part of the world I'd love to go to. Will sometime. Claris, I have to leave it there. Thank you so much. I don't know why, but talking to someone who's born in Baghdad just makes me feel kind of sad.
Lucky strikes in summer. Lucky ones, folded flames and pipes.
Ten before the hour, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, Catherine Bay, y'all know what you've done. You know what the penalty is. Diane and Alan sent me an email here. Mike, just a reminder, Florida starts to redeem itself this weekend with the kickoff of an impeachment campaign starting at 3:30 in the Miami area. Details at floridaimpeach.org. Floridaimpeach.org. I think Diane called in this week, didn't she, Kathy? I believe so. So check it out. There are all sorts of rallies and anti-war and impeachment rallies that are occurring this weekend. If you know of one that is available to you and you can make it in your area, you know, I said I've given up on the national marches. The next time I go to one, I'll be armed. But if you know of one in your area, it might be a good thing to do. I'm sure there will be events here in the Atlanta area. Of course, this is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and people are terrified. Not all. We have a chapter of Viet Vets Against the War here, and several peace and freedom organizations who are out there every single day, every single weekend. So, well, Kathy and I and the kid with her new haircut are out and about this weekend. We will be participating as we can. So if there's something going on in your area, do it. If you're inclined. I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying, depends on where your heart is.
Yeah, folks, don't expect any new Molly pictures in the gallery for a while. Quite a while.
She really went to work.
You want to know my reaction? Molly kept saying, she wasn't upset at all. She kept saying, Daddy, get Mommy a tissue. Mommy needs a tissue. I said, yeah, bring her a Valium with it.
I'm sure everyone who has children have gone through that, where, you know, your kid is being very quiet in her room or his room, sitting at that, you know, $45 desk you bought at IKEA and put together so that there's a little place there for all her crayons and her little safety scissors, and it's too quiet. You know how it is with a three-year-old. And you go upstairs, and she's sitting there whacking off her hair. Oh, no. I cut in my hair. All right, back to the calls here. John is calling from Oakland, California. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I don't accept the schedule change here on Green 960, where you come on at 11 o'clock now.
I know.
And I want to encourage people in the Bay Area to contact a management there, which is Bob Agnew. He's at 415-975-5555.
Okay.
Or they can email John Scott.
Yeah, I think folks in the broadcast area of the Quake have, you know, expressed their feelings about it. But, you know, commerce is commerce, business is business. They've got to make decisions. And
well, I think we've got to make at least an effort here.
Well, I don't disagree. I you know, we really enjoyed being on live in the shank of the evening, as they say, in the San Francisco area. So it was, it was kind of painful. But, you know, at least we're still there, so to speak, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't accept it for right now. I'm going to at least try.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so I called Nancy Pelosi last month because I was pissed off over the wiretapping thing.
Uh-huh.
And I gave her some positives and negatives. The positive is, I think it could be argued that the liberal base of the Democratic Party, by the liberal base I mean the liberal media and activists, that they have been the most effective electoral force over the past 15 years. They helped Clinton to victory in 92 and 96. They gave Gore the election in 2000, actually, and by a lot more than 500,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
We gave Kerry the votes in 2004, and you know what he did with them.
Yeah.
And we actually why are we
being so disrespected?
I don't know. Maybe we're a battered spouse.
Well, I keep coming back to that because I think that's what the National Democrats are. But I think you're pointing out the very obvious. I think any political operative inside the Democratic Party has to understand that they're not supposed to play to the middle of the road Republicans who might switch over. Screw them. They're supposed to play to their base, and that's us. people who are anti-war, who are pro-family, who are pro-environment, and for Pelosi and Reid and any Democratic Party operative not to acknowledge that is, I think, fully displays why the party is in such or has been in such shambles. Republicans don't do that. Republicans play right to their base, but the problem with Republicans doing that is their base is insane. And eventually the leaders that are elected by the base display their insanity and the entire country collapses. You know, we don't have that problem in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party leadership better start acknowledging what you're saying.
Yeah, well, part of the problem is that I don't think the liberals really give their self a credit here for their strength. They're pretty critical even of themselves. So we've got to recognize our strength.
Well,
and then come at these guys. And the negative that I told Nancy Pelosi is I think if she folds again on this war funding, that she's going to be asked to resign by the liberal base.
I would like to see some faction of the Democratic Party, since I can't seem to break away from it, some faction of the Democratic Party put out some demands, the way certain factions of the Republican Party put out demands going back 20 years on all of their candidates. Well, going back more than that, going back to the Reagan era. And they didn't give a damn. They didn't pay any attention to Democrats. They didn't pay any attention to liberals, progressives, or moderates. And they managed to glom up power. Now, they cheated, and they lied, and they stole. But that is the nature of Republicans. You know, why does a snake bite you on your ass and kill you? Because it's the nature of a snake.
Right.
So the Democratic Party, I think, has a chance. And I think the liberals and the progressives that are embedded in the Democratic Party should do exactly what you're suggesting.
Well, I think we need some sort of liberal coalition where liberals actually get a platform together and give it to these candidates and say, this is what we want.
That's a good idea. John, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. We'll talk again. Take care. If I didn't get to your call tonight and I see a bunch of callers still on hold, I'm sorry. I apologize. But let's do it Monday. Have a good weekend, whatever you do this weekend, all right? Be careful. Take care. I'll see you Monday evening. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.